We're going to especially be talking about a word that you may be familiar with, but may not totally think of in the right context, and that's grace. Jesus' death and resurrection have a lot to do with grace. There's a lot of confusion around this word, and even Elaine on Seinfeld was a little confused about it.
Of course, Jackie O was a great lady. Those are going to be some tough shoes to fill. Everyone loved her. She had such grace.
Yes. Yeah, grace.
Not many people have grace.
Well, you know, grace is a tough one. I like to think I have a little grace, not as much as Jackie O.
You can't have a little grace. You either have grace or you don't.
Okay, fine. I have no grace.
And you can't acquire grace.
Well, I have no intention of getting grace.
Grace isn't something you can pick up at the market.
All right, look, I don't have grace. I don't want grace. I don't even say grace, okay?
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, right.
We'll make our choice in a few days, and we'll let you know.
I have no chance, do I?
No.
So we just looked in depth at the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we know a little bit about some of the pain he would have gone through, having described some of the medical evidence we have that Jesus would very clearly have died. But sometimes we get focused on that, and yet that wasn't the extent of the pain that Jesus went through. He also would have experienced some emotional pain as his disciples, his followers, abandoned him and even turned their backs on him, claiming they never knew him. But the most important pain to recognize Jesus undergoing would have been the spiritual pain and the agony of being cut off from his Father for us. As he carried our sins, all those sins that have built up a barrier between us and God, as he actually took them, put them on himself, and experienced the utter and total devastation of being separated from God. So he experienced what he never needed to experience, but took what we experience instead upon himself. That's why when Jesus was dying, in his very last moments, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" People question what that line is all about. And it's at that moment that Jesus died and he experienced death and separation from God as we do. He became most human at that moment, most like us at that moment, when he took on our sins. You know, a sinless man who never had to take any sins upon himself took them on himself anyway, so he could take them to death and then destroy death's power over us, so we wouldn't have to be bound by them either. The results of his death are so marvelous that those words can't really do it justice, and one image or illustration couldn't do it justice either. And so we've got three of them that we're going to look at here that will help you get a fuller picture of what Jesus actually did in dying on the cross and then rising from the dead. The first image is of Jesus' death, and we use the image of the temple for that. In the Old Testament, there were very careful laws laid out for how sins should be dealt with. This whole system of sacrifices to show how serious sin was, that it wasn't something that God would simply brush aside, but rather something that needed to come up against justice. And there were many, many different ways that sacrifices were done for different kinds of sins and things like that. But a very typical one would involve taking an animal, laying hands on the animal, as perfect an animal as possible, and transferring that person's sins to that animal, and then the animal would be killed. Very clear sign that sin led to death. And if it wasn't the death of that person right now, then it was the death of something. There was a lot of symbolism and power to what was happening there. But the New Testament talks about Jesus as a perfect sacrifice for sin, one that ended the need for any more sacrifices like those ones. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament says, "It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." And we can kind of see that. Day after day after day, animals were being sacrificed for people who sinned, day after day after day. Year after year, they would have something called the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would lay his hands on a goat and transfer the sins of the whole nation of Israel for that whole year onto that animal and send the goat out into the wilderness. It's called a scapegoat. That's where we get the term from. They'd do that year after year after year. Clearly, this wasn't actually dealing with sin. It was just kind of, you know, over the years, recognizing that sin had to be dealt with, but it was never dealt with once and for all. It always seemed like a very temporary thing. But the New Testament talks about Jesus as the one perfect sacrifice for sin once and for all. Jesus was not just a perfect animal that could be sacrificed, but rather he was the perfect human being. The one human being to ever live who was completely without sin. We've never been able to do it, but with the power of God, Jesus could. And so he lived that life and then sacrificed it. Meaning that the temple and the sacrifices being done there were no longer necessary. That's why he spoke of the temple being destroyed after his death. And it happened. The temple was destroyed not that many years later, and there is still no temple today for the Jewish people. So there's a lot of symbolism around temple sacrifices in what Jesus did. The book of Hebrews goes into a lot of depth on that one. And you'll hear Jesus spoken of as both the high priest and as the ultimate sacrifice. Well, we've started to look at how Jesus' death actually means something to us today. We've seen today Jesus' sacrifice. Tomorrow we're going to see how Jesus pays the price. But in the meantime, I want you to just think about and hopefully discuss with some friends, why did Jesus offer himself as a sacrifice and not just change the rules? Why didn't God just kind of zap things back to the way they were supposed to be before we messed it all up? Why did he actually go through with this particular plan? We're going to explore answers to that on day 33, but in the meantime, I thought this would be a good point to stop and think about that. I'd also love for you to read two chapters from the Bible today, John chapter 17 and chapter 18. And as you do, reflect, who's Jesus going through such agony to help? Have a great time. I'll see you tomorrow.